Today's episode of the Booze and Spirit Podcast is presented by Clark's. Clark's story began almost 200 years ago when Cyrus and James Clark made a slipper from sheepskin. At the time, it was groundbreaking, a combination of invention and craftsmanship that's remained at the heart of what Clark's does. Brilliant ideas are what set Clark's apart. We are teaming up with Clark's and Podgo to bring you up to 30% off on select items, including the iconic Clark's Desert Boot, by going to podgo.co/clarks. That's podgo.co/clarks. Hey, are you game for a movie? Game for a Movie is a movie review podcast where four friends compete in challenges, and whoever loses has to watch a terrible movie picked by the listeners. It's funny, insightful, and you get to hear someone suffer. So I ask again, are you game for a movie? You. Like, you want to see a movie. Not game for a movie, the podcast. That's them. They're game for a movie, the podcast. But also to see a movie. You get it. Game for a Movie is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast providers.
So you got questions ready? Because I don't.
No, wing it.
I got a piece of paper and a pen, so in case any come up, I have to write them down and not forget them.
I have some coloring books. I have Golden Girls Mad Libs. Does that help?
Why does it look like it was made by South Park? I guess it is kind of the Mad Lib aesthetic, isn't it?
Let's see what else we got up here. Holy Mother Forking Shirt Bolts coloring book.
Huh. I've got the Night Before Christmas here.
Swear words.
Got a Charizard.
I feel like cum dumpster or something was in here. Dickwad.
So she's signing in. You're playing with coloring books, and I've got a handful of Pokemon.
Golden Girls.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
We don't normally have armfuls of Pokemon. That's just.
I was playing with coloring books, so.
We were discussing what toys we had at hand.
Oh, we got really hard around here, so.
Right.
Hey everybody, it's the Booze and Spirit Podcast.
Whoop whoop. That's just like my new thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's her thing she says instead of it's a drink with death, which is
it's like a drink with death.
The tagline that she wrote.
We have a tagline.
That you wrote.
I suggested it.
This is a very different, experimental, potentially go way off the rails episode for us because we have a guest.
Woo! Woo. Do we ever say it on the rails though? Like, let's be honest here. Not once stayed on the rails.
It's off the rails or doing a rail. Those are the only two options.
Was that an option? Where's Sean? He can make this happen in 10 minutes.
So for our special guest, we have Amanda from Spookies. Hi, Amanda. Hey.
Hello. Thank you for having me come on the show.
Thank you for coming. We were seriously worried what would happen if we exposed other people to who we really are. Because
yeah, I mean, she hasn't seen it fully yet, so there's still a chance for her to run for the hills.
There is that. Yeah.
Just suddenly, oh, she just lost her connection. I don't know where she went.
You're breaking up.
I'm in a tunnel.
So, when Kate and I conceived this show, we never really had a concept for how we would use or incorporate guests into it because we're awful full of ourselves.
I like the honesty. That's good. Well, That's good.
It's our specialty. So, I guess we can just jump right into it. Tell us a little about Spookies. How did that whole scenario shake down? How'd that start?
So Spook Eats is a website where we visit haunted restaurants, bars, and hotels. We try the food, we share a little bit of the history, and then we also share the ghost stories. I've always been interested in the quote-unquote, like, the strange and unusual, to be totally Lydia Dietz, like every other basic gothic girl. Yeah. I had my first paranormal encounter when I was about 7 years old. And after that, it was really the deal was dealt. It was done. I was really, really interested from there on out. So I would read up on ghosts and aliens and cryptids and all that fun stuff. Then probably around like 2004, 2005, I went to Gettysburg for the first time. And that was when I went on my first ghost tour. I went on my first ghost hunt, and then I was totally hooked. So I was really, really interested in the paranormal, really innocently, just really curious. I would take my tape recorder to totally date myself. Tape recorder. You know, you would go to the cemeteries and the old abandoned buildings and, you know, just see if you could catch a ghost. So it was very innocent. But then in 2015, my younger brother, Jed, he passed away from a battle with pediatric cancer. And that was kind of like the aha moment for me, where I went from being just curious about the paranormal to being very passionate about it and really deciding that I wanted to actually investigate and research and try to come to some sort of conclusions about what potentially could be considered an afterlife. And that's why I turned to haunted hospitality, because I started trying to investigate these really well-known haunted locations, and I found that they were either impossible to get into unless you were a really established paranormal team, or if you could get into it, it's a fortune. It's so exorbitant.
Right.
And it's I am neither famous nor am I wealthy by any means. So that's when I was like, you know, you have these haunted restaurants, you have these haunted bars and these hotels that they're already open. They want you to come and visit them. And they have just as much history as some of the places you might see on TV. And so many ghost stories are surrounding them that, and there's heat, there's electricity, there's food, there's drinks, there's bathrooms. Hello. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me. And that's why I really wanted to start focusing on the haunted hospitality, not just for myself, but to also kind of create a guide for other people. You know, it's one of those truths about life is everyone experiences death at one point or another in their lives. They lose someone that they love, whether it's a friend or a family member.
We don't get to go to each other's funerals.
Exactly. And, you know, and everyone has these questions. I mean, maybe not everyone, you know, some people are blessed with very deep-seated faiths, and I was not one of those people. I needed answers. So for me, after turning to alcohol first, after that, it was kind of, all right, like, let's try to figure this out. And that's why I wanted to look at the paranormal and kind of create a roadmap for other people to visit these haunted locations to potentially come to their own conclusions as well.
Excellent. I don't know if she'll admit it, but you do have the dream gig that Kate always wanted before she...
It's true. So I used to like always be like, I just want to start like a, I want to write a haunted travel book or haunted travel blog or something. But then
I get a text every 3 months for years about how do I get myself doing this?
Yeah. Please note that I was working 50-ish hours a week running a haunted restaurant for a good chunk of this time. So like, you know, there was no vacation. There was no traveling unless it was work related. And then I was too much of a drunken stupor to investigate. So this is just where we're at.
So now I got to take you to task, because I went on the website and there are very few entries for the West Coast where Kate and I live. You have more international London cases on your site than you do West Coast.
It is so sad. Let me tell you, I have only been out to the West Coast one time in my entire life, and I was 12. So did not enjoy the restaurant scene, the bar scene, even like the haunted scene. Like
bars are not fun when you're 12, unless someone is like dumb enough to think you're 21.
Yeah, right. So it's like, and I've been saying to my husband for the last time, I was like, we need to get back out west. Then like we've gotten to like Colorado, and I'm like, ooh, if we just like keep driving just a little bit further, like we can like do like transcontinental. Isn't that cool? But we didn't do it. But hopefully soon-ish, once, you know, I'm allowed to leave my house again.
You got a baby.
Yeah, I'm desperate to just leave the house and just like pack everyone up and be like, all right, we're heading west. Let's go.
How old is your baby?
He is going to be 6 months next week.
Okay. Mine just hit 11 months. So like, I feel your quarantine baby pain.
Yeah.
it's a whole other. Whole other
I'm like, what do you do with a baby in the winter during a pandemic? Nothing. That's what. It's like, well, let's go on a walk around the block if it's not blizzarding.
Yeah. Sean takes him to Walmart when I'm at work. So he doesn't cry. Put him in the front pack, let him flirt with old ladies. It's their go-to routine. So
I say the old ladies appreciate it, I'm sure.
Oh, they love it. So. But we're in Oregon where people don't necessarily believe in science. So they like pull down their mask to talk to the baby. And I'm like, I will cut you. Get away from my child.
6 feet, 6 feet.
So do you mind me asking what your first paranormal experience was?
Sure. So I was at my parents' house lying in my bedroom. I was in my bedroom. And what I ended up seeing was an old woman walking in our hallway. My bedroom door was wide open, which since this happened, I always sleep with my door closed now because I was scarred, I guess. But I saw this old woman and she was in a bathrobe with slippers and she had like crazy bedhead. And I just remember that she was walking. She stopped and she turned to look at me. It felt like a really long time, but it was probably only a second or two before she continued walking forward into what is now our linen closet. And it only took about a millisecond for me to just scream absolute bloody murder for my mom. And she actually ran through the old woman. She did not see her as like she continued to walk. It was the weirdest thing. And my mom was like, oh, you were just dreaming. You were just dreaming. And it's like, no, like I know what I saw. I'm wide awake. I was wide awake. And that was the only time I ever saw her. I never feel like I grew up in a haunted house. That was the only thing that ever was like really weird. At the time it was scary, but in hindsight I was like, oh, she's just some random old lady. Fast forward 10 years later, I find out that my parents were keeping from me. The previous owner of our house was an old woman. She died in the house and her bedroom was my bedroom. Oh. Luckily, they told me this as I was going away to college. So I was like, all right, I'm gone. Like, you can change that room. I'm not sleeping in there again. But yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I feel like it was the sort of thing where I just happened to be in the right place at the right time to see this happening. I would say like, oh, it was a residual sort of thing because she seemed to just be going through the motions of walking through the hallway, but she stopped and she looked at me. So it's like this weird hybrid.
Yeah, experience. Residual intelligence hybrid. Yes.
So it was weird. And again, it was the only time I ever saw her, I ever felt her, or ever experienced her. So maybe she quote unquote moved on. But I always think back to like, that was the origin story. Like, I wonder if that didn't happen. If I happened to be sleeping or I was laying on my other side and I didn't see her, would I even be here today? You know, would spook eats be a thing? So it's kind of cool to think back to that one exact pinpoint in time.
Yeah, for sure. Nick and I grew up in a haunted house, though.
So. Yeah.
And then... became an adult. My mom admitted all of the stuff I was saying. She was just blatantly making up excuses for why it was happening so I wouldn't freak out.
Well, you guys are imagining things. Then, you know, you get a little older and even dad would say, oh, yeah, I see shadows out of the corner of my eye all the time. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, thanks for letting me think I was crazy. Let's.
Yeah, right? Like, thanks, guys. Thank you for having my back.
I remember being 3 years old. I had to pee. Someone was in the bathroom in the center of the house. So everybody's just like, go into the master bath. I stood in the hallway and peed my pants outside of the other bathroom. I was like, I'm not going there. Not doing it.
Down there where my bedroom was. Yeah. With the window that didn't shut all the way because apparently somebody shot himself in my room and nobody decided to tell me till I was in my teenage years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, we had a fun house.
It's not the adjective I would use, but...
builds character.
After our grandfather passed, the activity went from aggressive to just nonchalant. The activity kept up, but it no longer was aggressive towards anyone in the house. So that was good.
That's good.
So we like to think Grampy Ray was there kicking some bad ghost ass.
So you've got a brand new project.
So my newest project is a brand new all-female paranormal journal called The Feminine Macabre. It was my attempt at a play on the feminine mystique. I'm terrible at coming up with titles, but I'm kind of proud of that one.
No, I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. So basically, the reason why I wanted to start this project was about a year ago now, I was doing a show on Paranormal Buzz Radio, and we were talking about women in the paranormal, but historically. So we were talking about famous women. Lorraine Warren, obviously, is like the number one that everyone always knows, but we also talked about Eleanor Sidgwick and Catherine Crowe and, you know, some of these ladies that are lesser known. But I realized as I was doing this interview that there was like zero, not, I don't want to say like zero knowledge, y'all were stupid, but like nobody really knew these names of these women. And if they did, they only knew a little bit of the story.
And I bet, and you could even argue that the part of why Lorraine was so well known is because Ed was a publicity hound. That you could make that argument too.
100%. And I would even go one step further and say that the only reason why she's really well known is because of the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Like,
well, she was.
If you're paranormal, like obsessed in the like 2000s or before, you knew who she was, but like she wasn't mainstream.
She did lots of guest spots on Paranormal State. That was kind of where we saw a lot of her.
Yeah. And like, you know, it just really got me thinking that even in today, you know, you ask someone to name your favorite female paranormal investigator, they'll really only name maybe two or three people. You know, you
Velma.
There we go. But you know, you have Katrina from Portals to Hell. You have Amy on Kindred Spirits. Cindy now on the Holzer Files. But really, there's only a handful that people can come up with. But for some reason, if you ask people to name a male paranormal investigator, there's tons. You can just keep rattling them off. I mean, there are shows that are just guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even with women, if you do see them in the mainstream media, they're one of two things. They're either the spiritual person, whether it's the psychic or the witch, or they are a leading lady, but they're always coupled by a man. Mm-hmm. It's never just a group of women. So it really got me thinking, and, you know, I host public ghost hunts and I attend events, especially usually when there's not a pandemic happening, but I've always noticed that, at least in my experience, women make up the majority of paranormal investigation. That's just what I've experienced when I host events. Probably 60% at least of the people in attendance are women, and the men that are there are usually there against their will, like they were dragged there by a spouse or a sibling or a friend. But again, this is just from my experience. So it really got me thinking as I was kind of mulling it over for a few months. I really just decided that I wanted to start this journal to give a place for women to share their research and their theories and their opinions and experiences in the paranormal. You look back all throughout paranormal history, women are either ignored, they're forgotten, they're kind of tainted in a negative light. And
they're considered frauds more often than not in the public stories. Yeah,
exactly. So that's when I was like, you know what? I want to give a voice to people who are blatantly ignored. They're overshadowed by the men in the field, and just make a place for these people to share their findings. Volume one, I've just compiled it all together, and it's so interesting to see what people have come up with. It's just a full spectrum of spiritual to scientific. We have women who have been in the field for 20 or 30 years. And that's, you know, as long as some of these other women have been alive. it's just this great spectrum. We have women from all over the world, women of all different ages and sexual orientations and ethnicities. It's really interesting to see that the paranormal is this really vast, open thing. But so many times when you think of a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator, you just think of like the buff dude in the tight black shirt stomping through abandoned buildings shouting demon. and they'll remain anonymous. You know, so I'm excited to share it with people. I'm excited for the audience, whether they're male or female, whether they believe in the paranormal or not, whether they approach it more scientifically or spiritually. You know, I hope that people really enjoy it, that they'll read it, they'll support not just the book itself, but also the women in it. So volume one, by the time you're listening to this, is hopefully available. Knock on wood. And then we've already got volume two in the works as well. That'll be coming out in August or September, depending on just life in general. But I'm hoping to make it a biannual publication where twice a year it'll come out and just kind of be that little safe haven for ladies in the paranormal to be able to share their findings and their research and possibly for once in their lives actually be heard.
Nick, as a white man, you're not confused by this. You get it. But I just
look like that all the time. That's my general state of appearance. I'm starting to come around on the mask just because if you cover up my face from there down, it kind of hides my for lack of a better term, resting bitch face. So I look a lot more kind and gentle than most people.
I think it's resting leadership face if you're a man.
Is that it? Is that
it? Yeah, leadership face. Resting, you can have a bitch face if you want.
Resting BDE face? Is that?
My face is a resting bitch face. Yours is, I don't wake up to label it something.
No, I'm 100%. People are always like, why are you so sad? And I was like, I'm not.
This is just how I look, guys. This is
just my face. It's just my face.
So right now, your plan is for the Femme de Macabre to just be digital. Is that correct?
No, actually. Oh, okay. It's not going to.
That's what I'd heard at one point.
No. So Ooh. It's not going to be digital at all. I'm nice. Terrible. I'm terrible at technology. So so basically, yeah, this is going to be an actual printed book.
Yay!
So that's all I know how to do. I don't even know how to do Kindle. I've gotten negative reviews on Amazon because my Kindle files aren't good. So I've since taken all of my Kindle files off because I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting negative reviews because I don't know how to do this.
Formatting is hard.
Exactly. I can make a good book. So this is going to be an actual physical book. And a few reasons why I wanted to do that. First of all, I love how books smell. So that's number one.
Spoken by a true nerd. Like, oh, yeah. I just like the way books smell.
100%. And I mean, they look good on your shelf. There's Kindle can just, no, thank you. Anyway, so my number one reason why I really wanted to do this, aside from the smell, was that when I first started sending my personal works away to different anthologies and publications, the first time one of my pieces actually got accepted and was published into a book format, it was, I don't want to be like melodramatic, but it was really life-changing for me to get that book and see my name on the cover and have it on a shelf and be able to give it to someone. It was really impactful, that's a word, yes.
Yeah.
It really reiterated to me that I could write and that people might potentially want to read what I have to write. So that was kind of my starting point of wanting to actually write my own books. So since then, I've come out with 5 different books and I absolutely love it. And for me, what I want to do with this is kind of be that starting point for someone else that has always wanted to be published or be a writer and just hasn't found the courage to do it or had the opportunity. I want this to be that opportunity for them and for them to realize I can do this too, and maybe have them start writing books and publishing their own works and having their voices be heard. So it was really important for me to make sure that this was an actual physical book that people could purchase, they can hold in their hands, they can sniff, and that they can flip open and read and take notes in the side margin and highlight it. Because the works that these women are doing, so many of them were so insightful, whether it was their personal opinions about being a woman in the paranormal or sharing their research and their theories and kind of altering the way that I've considered and approached the paranormal. So I'm hoping that it's kind of not a textbook because that's very dry, but it teaches lessons while also really reaching out to people. That, and I don't know how to do things digitally. So I'm an old lady.
So is your brain burnt now from having to read 100 new theories in a short span?
Luckily, submissions were open for about a month and a half, and I read them as they came in. Thank God. If I had waited until submissions closed and I had to try to like power through 100 submissions in the span of like 3 or 4 days, I would have lost my mind. Luckily, I kept up on it. So I already had things kind of whittled down to like yes, no, and maybe. And then the last few days was just a tidal wave of new pieces. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay, like gotta focus. So luckily it wasn't sitting there reading 100 pieces in a few days, but it was definitely, coffee was my best friend and long nap times were very, very helpful.
Well, and I'm sure that most of what you received was at least insightful, but I'm sure there was at least one you were like, what is happening? What am I reading right now? Like,
luckily not that often. And it was surprising, honestly, because I was like, oh gosh, like, we'll see what we get. And there was only a handful where I was kind of like, ooh, like, you didn't proofread this. I have no idea what you're trying to say right now.
That's the best part of American Idol is watching the people who can't sing. That's
true.
So those away and change the names and you'll have another book later.
There you go. It's like the director's cut. No, but, you know, and I am hoping that the ladies that weren't accepted into volume one, I always say to people, like, it's okay to be disappointed, but don't be discouraged. So I encourage anyone who did submit that didn't get accepted this time around, you know, get a copy of volume one and see what did make the cut. You know, see what I decided was good enough to put in the book for volume one, and kind of go from there. See what they did, see what they researched, see what they presented, and kind of not necessarily copy what they did, but you kind of will have an idea and maybe find inspiration. My biggest hope is that whether people were accepted into this volume or not, that they support the project, and more specifically support the women that are included in it, because success for this journal will determine how long it will continue. You know, my hope is to do it twice a year for ? You know, into infinity, but it could just end with two volumes. I hope not. The response that I've gotten has been fantastic. And most people have been very understanding, you know, if they didn't make the cut for volume one, it's been pretty good, because I was expecting like people to kind of come at me with torches and pitchforks. No, that hasn't happened yet. So that's good at least, because I've been on the opposite end. You know, I've been the one submitting and getting rejected or accepted. So I know it's the highest of highs and it's the lowest of lows. When I tell people, I understand how you feel. I do, actually. I'm not just saying that being a pretentious jerk. I do understand that it does stink. It stinks when you do work on something for a while and just doesn't, it's not the right fit at the right time. So keep trying. Don't be discouraged. That's what I say.
Well, like, you know, Nick and I are pretty new to the game, but it seems like the paranormal community has, I'm sure there's exceptions to this rule, but like has been pretty accepting and supporting of each other as far as our interactions. There seems to be quite a bit of camaraderie. And if there's like beating each other down, it's at least off of social media and away from cameras and that sort of thing, which is nice.
Yeah, it's definitely like any community or subculture, you are going to have excuse me, I burped. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Ooh, it wasn't us.
I've been quietly burping this entire time.
Though. Me too.
That's what I get for usually. Okay, let me tell you. Usually I drink water, but I was like, ooh, this is booze and spirits. I have to have a cocktail with me. So I'm drinking alcohol and I never drink alcohol.
I felt the same pressure.
Irish. It's fine.
Okay, so
I brought the peer pressure. I'm sorry. This is what did. I do.
You did.
I'm an enabler. It's so my cross excuse- to bear.
It's you did a good job. So anyway, I feel like in every community, especially online communities, you do have bullies, you do have, you know, those rotten apples. And I think it's up to the individual to tiptoe around them and just avoid them. There's toxicity for sure. Even with this journal, I've seen like a few of the passive aggressive, but not so passive because I know exactly what they're talking about, comments and posts. I hear horror stories from other people of just really toxic environment and stuff. And luckily for me, I don't know if it's because I'm a solo investigator and I'm not a part of a team. Maybe that's why I'm completely oblivious to it. But personally, I have not experienced any of the negativity that I hear about from other people. I've been very lucky in that sense, especially here in Buffalo, New York. There's a very close-knit paranormal scene. Everyone's very supportive of each other. And like, I'm relatively new. Spook Eats only started in 2018. So I'm only at it for about 3 years now, officially, quote unquote, even though I've been investigating since about 2005, off and on, and very like immaturely for a while there. And I find like podcasts and independent artists and authors, and like you kind of have like this indie scene rising up where like you have your mainstream paranormal reality shows with like the quote unquote celebrities, and then you have the more laid back, I don't want to say like homegrown grassroots paranormal scene that's really starting to blossom, and I absolutely love it. Like, I'm so excited to be a part of it and to be here to kind of see this community really start to morph and evolve and kind of find its footing. I feel like up until the last few years, it's only been like what we see on TV and what is fed to us. But now with social media and the internet, we're able to connect so much easier now and so much quicker. English is so hard tonight. Oh my God, I'm never doing alcohol again on a podcast. So again, like with like the toxicity and stuff, you know, I think, you know, you're going to find it wherever you are, but 99% of the time, everything that I've experienced has been absolutely fantastic. And people are so supportive of each other. And I'm here for it. I love it. And especially with this journal, the amount of support that it's already gotten, and it's not even out yet. People don't realize, like, it could be a load of crap. It's not, but joke's on you. But you know, I just appreciate it that people are really taking a chance on it. They have high hopes for it. So now it's like all the pressure to really live up to those expectations.
I saw Greg Newkirk kind of addressing something similar to that the other night. I don't know how the conversation came about, but it was on Twitter. He was responding to people who feel jilted that the celebrity TV investigators are the ones always get top spots at conventions. And yeah, that stinks. There's only so many of those top spots. But like you said, with podcasts and YouTube and social media, there's a lot more tier two and tier three positions that people can move into.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that like, as time goes on, that those like tier two and tier three
should kind rotate. Of
like, exactly, like, or not necessarily rotate, but just kind of like intermingle, like, yeah. You know, have a few of those, the celebrity names, people are going to go to conventions.
That's what people are paying money for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a business, guys.
But the hope is that you introduce a few of those little guys, quote unquote, and then they get a wider following, and then you do it the next year and another group gets a wider following. So then it's kind of more of a variety as opposed to just like the same people over and over and over again. I've stopped going to things because it's like, well, I've already met all these people and like they're great and all, but I mean, I'm only going to pay so much money to see the same people over and over again.
Especially like their big stories probably are the same routine.
They're always the same. So, you know, and that's why last year was really interesting with COVID. There was a couple of like online paracons. I got to be a part of a few of them. And it was so much fun to connect with people that you would never find in a lineup of a paracon before. But because it was online, people didn't have to pay for them. It was this great little community that kind of sprung up. I got connected with people that I never would have met necessarily because they wouldn't be headliners at a regular Paracon, but because mm-hmm. this was an online Paracon, the net was just cast so much wider. And I loved it. I learned so much. I made so many connections. So I'm hoping over the years and stuff, hopefully things change a little bit just because you do get the same people over and over again. And I think eventually it could potentially be bad for business just because you hear the same stories, you see the same people. So to kind of expand that cast of characters, for lack of a better term, I guess.
Why in pro wrestling, you change your champion every once in a while.
Exactly. You
gotta keep it new, keep it fresh.
Exactly.
I'm really proud of you for making it this far into the Booze and Spirits series before making a pro wrestling reference.
Thank you. We don't make many of them.
Well, I think this is the first one on this show. So that's why
I'm sure it's not.
It won't
I don't
be
know what
last.
It is. It's definitely, I've got wrestling related ghost stories in my pocket for when that episode is ready.
I'm ready.
So on ghost stories, since we're on that subject, that is one of our main things here we do on Booze and Spirits is tell a ghost story. Do you have an interesting ghost story, restaurant story, theater story, some kind of story you'd like to tell us?
Oh, gosh.
What's your big story you tell everybody?
So my good story, it's not scary. It's heartwarming. So it might be disappointing. My number one experience that I ever had was at the Ghostlight Theater, which one of my books is The Ghosts of the Ghostlight Theater. So it's got a special place in my heart. I've been a member there since 2005, which is really gross to admit because it makes me feel so old.
We did name drop your theater in an episode a couple weeks ago because we were talking about Women in Red phenomena.
Yay!
Phenomena.
Do, 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 do.
See? She's one of us. She gets it. I can't say phenomena and just leave it. Like, it's phenomena. That's just who I am as a person. I'm sorry.
No judgment. Oh, that's awesome. So at this theater, there's the lady in red, but it's a really cool location because the building was built in 1889, and there are some spirits that are haunting there that are from definitely the 1800s, 1880s. The lady in red, she's dressed in Victorian era clothing. So it's cool to see that spirits from over 100 years ago are there. But then we also have a few spirits of cast and crew members that have passed away within the last 5 years or so. And they're kind of like mingling together. It's really, really cool. My story, basically, my brother Jed, who passed away in 2015, he was a member at this theater as well. And probably 2017. So it wasn't right after he passed away, but it was a few years later. We were doing a small little ghost hunt with just theater members. There's probably a dozen of us total. And while I was there, it was the first time I was investigating a location that it was kind of like just popped into my head that I should see if Jed is around. I've always made it a point to not do that just because it's a slippery slope. You don't want to become absolutely obsessed with, you know, contacting past loved ones, and you don't necessarily know that's who you're talking to.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it was just kind of like put on my head and put in my heart to just be like, dude, are you okay? You know, where are you? Are you okay? And in my head, I was thinking, I'm at this theater tonight. My parents are at this theater. The owner of the theater, who was like a second father to him, he was there. His best friend was there. So like all of his favorite people were in the exact same building. So if he's going to be anywhere in the universe right now, why not here? So I was down in the basement with two other women, and I had my phone going. It wasn't even a nice digital recorder. It was a phone. I was just like, dude, are you okay? And I got an EVP that sounds like when he was about 11 years old. So he passed away when he was 19, but the height of his theater career, he was about 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got an EVP, obviously days later, I didn't realize it at the time, of his voice as a little boy saying, I'm fine. And that was the coolest thing to me. But that exact same night, one of the women that was down in the basement with me, at the end of the night, she came up to me and she said, you know, I got a photo of Jed. And I thought, what on earth are you talking about? And she showed me this photo, and it is a carbon copy of a family photo that we have. It is the weirdest thing. It was on her phone. She snapped the picture down in the basement, and it looks like his first day of school photo from when he was about 10 or 11 years old. So he's got long brown hair. You can see his jawline. He's got a green t-shirt. You can see his backpack. It's the weirdest thing. And she got that photo in the exact same spot I got the EVP. So it's just really cool that it was the same night in the same location. And I always joke saying that if I had just gotten that photo, that's enough. And if I had just gotten the EVP, that would have been enough. But to get both of them, I said, if I never capture anything again on any investigation, I'm fine. Like those two things, that's all you need. So that's definitely my favorite all around experience I've had, just because I have two pieces of evidence that I can share with other people that are directly connected to not only the building that I love so much, but also my brother. So.
That's great.
I got goosebumps.
Yay! Yay!
That was real sweet. That was too sweet for our show. That was.
I was gonna say I have a scary story too. If you would like a scary one to balance it out,
let's hear it.
Okay.
I feel like we're not super scary because we're such like jackasses.
No.
But the stories we tell are sometimes like they're spooky.
You know? Yes.
They're just balanced with us.
Yes. So life is all about balance. So that was sweet. So my only scary encounter that I've ever had, I always say like, I've never felt like I couldn't return to a location because I was too afraid to go. Like there have been locations where I'm like, well, I'm never going back there because like the living people that run it suck. not the spirit. But I was at Iron Island Museum in Buffalo, New York, and it's been on Portals to Hell. It's been on Ghost Hunters. In the Buffalo area, it's very well known as like one of the most haunted places. And pre-COVID, my family and I, we owned an escape room. Post-COVID, nobody wants to get locked in a room with no ventilation touching stuff that everyone else has touched. So we shut down. But before that, we owned the escape room. And Linda, the owner of Iron Island, she wanted to come up with a fundraising event to just, you know, kind of like help boost money for the museum. So we decided to put in kind of a temporary little escape room at the museum. So I was working on it for a few days, and the very last day before it opened, it was crunch time. I had to finish it. So she had to leave with her mom, and I basically said to her, I have to stay. I will, you know, lock up or whatever when I'm done, but I have to finish this. People are paying to come through tonight. She said, you know, I have to go. I'm going to lock you in so you're safe. Are you sure you're okay to stay? And she just kept saying that, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And finally I was like, should I not be? Like, what? Like, I get the place is haunted, but like, should I not be okay to stay? So finally she's like, no, I'm sure you'll be fine. Like, this is not helping. So she locked me in. So I'm locked inside Iron Island Museum by myself. It's the middle of the day though, so it's fine, whatever. And I'm in the room called the chapel, and it's got a piano, it's got the gift shop, and it's got this beautiful altar from a church that actually burned down. But across from that, out in the hallway, there's this mirror. It's this round mirror. And if anyone knows me, they know that I hate mirrors. Hate them so much. My husband's like, why don't we only have one mirror in our house? And I'm like, because they're evil. I hate them. I don't know why.
They're in the bathroom for getting ready, and that is they don't go in other places.
Yes. He's like, well, can't we have one in our bedroom? And it's like, no, I don't want anything to like look out and watch me sleep. Anyway, yeah. I hate mirrors. So I'm working in the chapel, and I'm working on a couple of props, and I see in the mirror, I don't want to say a shadow figure because I feel like they're different from what I saw, but I saw a shadowy figure from the waist up in the mirror, but it looked like it was dripping out of the mirror. I was not cool.
That's go time. It's
and I like very like briskly like collected my stuff, and like, I'm not going to say I ran because I'm a paranormal investigator and you don't run from anything, but I very, very briskly walked.
We're going to go have a breather is what we're going to do.
And I just like made my way to the kitchen, which is like the safe area. And I just kept working in there. And in hindsight, I'm like, dang it. Like, I wish I like snap a picture, try to document this. But I think because I was completely alone and it was a mirror, and just like, I was just like on edge sitting by the mirror anyway. I booked it out of there. I regret that, but it was the weirdest thing. It was the freakiest thing. I have been back since many, many times. So it didn't scare me away, but it definitely, like, I have goosebumps now thinking about it. It was just so unnerving and so eerie. And I couldn't explain it because I knew, like, I'm not seeing the reflection of someone else in the hallway or something. I'm alone in this building, locked in, unless there's like someone living in the basement or something that we don't know about. I didn't like it. So,
well, that's
my
scary story. I'm a firm believer in you have reaction. Like, if something spooky happens, there are two reactions. There is shit, I'm startled and that's scary. Or that is terrifying, get me out of here. And that is terrifying, get me out of here means it's something not safe to be around. That's just my personal experiences with life. So, like, you not stopping to take a picture, don't feel bad about that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, Kate, I thought since Amanda does collect haunted restaurants and bar stories, maybe you have a story or two that you could talk
after working
her.
50 Whoa. Hours a week.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. You've been to Portland, Oregon. I'm in Southern Oregon. There's a town called Jacksonville. It's literally Southern Oregon, a little bit off of I-5. And the entire town's a historical landmark. And I ended up working at Bigham Knoll, which is the original school property in town. So it's no longer a school. It was like a 1892, 1896, one of those that the current building was constructed. So there's been a lot that's happened there. Where I live was very, and still kind of is, the Wild West. So there was Chinese miners and railroad workers and all sorts of weird shootings and just everything in this area. Indian Wars, we've got it all. So there's just a lot of energy on that property. So when I started there, I was bartending, and I was typically the closing bartender. So I was the last person to leave the property. It's a three-story schoolhouse with a bell tower on top. And then there's an annex building that was constructed in the 20s that has three more classrooms and what used to be the gymnasium. And then there's a couple of other small buildings on the property. The original schoolhouse that was there has burnt down two or three times prior to them constructing it in brick in the late 1800s. It was one of those schools where if you were going to be a teacher there, you had to be chaste and single, and you couldn't drink. You can go to the bars and, you know.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So we had a lot of activity there. I think especially because we were running a bar in this school.
It's ironic. I love
it. So yeah, so we were in the restaurants in the basement, and then the other floors of the main building are office spaces, and they were event spaces when, you know, events could happen. So I was there late night, last one in the building a lot. But after I had been there for a while, I asked the owner one day, is this building haunted? And she just looked at me and she's like, yeah, but they didn't start acting up until you started here.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay, sorry, my bad. So between all of those of us coming in early and staying late, we've got kind of a grasp of what we think the ghosts are. Main floor of the schoolhouse, we believe, was haunted by two school marms. So we're thinking like early 1900s in the property. They've gone to the Historical Society and like gotten all of these pictures from the property, blown them up. We do think that these two marms specifically are in one of the photos in the library that's in that building now. Motion sensor light, had multiple staff have the lights come on for no reason when they walk down the hallway going up the stairs. We've had a couple of people like see that picture and go like, that's the lady I saw in the stairwell. They also, we think they did not really like what we were doing in the restaurant, obviously drinking and being very debaucherous. Very debaucherous things happen. We won't get into details, but so there is a few times when people would hear two women bickering on that floor when nobody was there. The lights on that floor would do whatever they wanted. More than one time we turned off the lights on the breaker boxes, like the power was off to that floor for the lights. And so it was a school up until the early 2000s. There was some students that had been there that were watching UFC fight on that floor on a big screen. And they were talking about a teacher of theirs that committed suicide while they were students, not on the property, but it was a teacher that passed. And that's when the breakers were off and the lights flickered off, came back on, went back off. So that was a pretty big thing. In the basement, we called the ghost James. The original boiler was down there and it was a wood-fired furnace for radiant heat throughout the building. Kids that got to detention essentially would have to come in early in the morning to chop and stack firewood. So Bad Kids Club was down there. We think that we called the ghost James. We think it's a man in his early 20s that might have been a teacher. He really likes and really dislikes some people. We had a chemical company. The guy delivering the chemicals was like, oh, this isn't good. Because he had been a janitor when it was last to school. And he would go downstairs to clean and get shoved out the door and the door pulled shut behind him. James was really fond of me and a couple of the other girls. Really hated one male bartender we had. Really hated a girl bartender we had. One day I was standing, this was when I'd moved to management, standing at the end of the bar with the owner. And then one of the other girls was standing next to us. And our bartender that day is bending over in front of a shelf doing dishes. And it was a German restaurant. So we had big, heavy glass steins. One of those steins, the three of us watched fly off the shelf and into the back of her knee. I have really bad footage off of the security cameras of glasses exploding off the bar. We had pans fly off the shelves in the kitchen repeatedly.
The glasses are on our criminally underused YouTube channel.
We just would always have weird stuff. One day I was bartending. I was at the end of the bar talking to some servers at the end of the shift. We watched the exit door fly open and shut three times in a row. There would routinely be nights that I couldn't get the alarm to set for whatever reason when I was leaving. And I would just like text my boss, hey, doors are locked, but the alarm didn't set. I don't know. Every time she'd come in the morning before anybody else was there, like every TV in the restaurant would be turned on full blast. And then we actually had a regular that helped build the bar pass away. Activity really picked up after that. One time the lights went out over the bar. This was like in the middle of the afternoon. And I'm like, Brooks, stop fucking with the light. And somebody at the bar is going like, you really think that's a ghost? And then I believe it was just a bar stool just flipped over. And I was like, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yes, I do.
The other building definitely had activity. We had a ghost in the ballroom that we called Mary. You would just feel somebody like watching you from various places. One night we were in the ballroom late and I pulled back this curtain on the stage to go like adjust the stereo system. And I literally almost peed my pants because I almost walked into a full body apparition, which that is the first time I've ever had anything like that happen. We had a lot of interesting things happen at that property. I've got more stories than that, but that's like just kind of the summarized, like shit was happening there. You know, it was a good time.
I was wrong. None of that is useful. I'm cutting it all. Well, we'd probably better push through to this episode's recipe.
I made a drink. That's weird, right? That I made a drink?
Not on the show. No, that's...
No, okay.
Have you heard the show? Have you... listen to our podcast?
We play this like where people can so when we talked to Amanda originally, she mentioned maybe doing a Cosmo since this is kind of a lady-centric episode, and I thought, you know, we should have a spooky Cosmo. So I made a ghost Cosmo. It is a white shimmery Cosmo that we're gonna call the case of the vapors.
Case of the vapors.
I got the case of the vapors. Because it's funny. So this recipe, we're using 2 ounces of vodka. We used 1 ounce of Control. I hope I'm saying that right. My French skills are no es bueno.
How's it spelled?
Cointreau.
Control?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it sounds, yeah. Sounds right.
Yes, yeah.
Control!
Did you just turn into Janet Jackson? What just happened? 3 ounces of white cranberry juice. Juice of half a lime and a spoonful of edible glitter. I use Drink Labs glitter, but there are some other brands out there if it's not sweet enough for you, because the white cranberry is a bit tartar than the cranberry cocktail you get in most bars. So you can either up your Control or put a little simple syrup in it if it's not sweet enough. But it's shimmery and ghosty.
How are you preparing that? Are you shaking that or stirring it?
I'm shaking it.
Yeah.
I'm shaking it. Straining it into a glass.
I figured just dropping a spoonful of glitter into a drink probably wasn't going to get the desired effect. So I wanted to.
So you do a body shot and then you snort the glitter. No.
Seems legit.
And then the lime wedge is like in someone's mouth.
Anyone handy.
If all you've got is a hobo, all you've got is a hobo. Amanda's like, I got to go, guys. This is.
That's fair.
Snorted glitter was the line.
Hobo body shots was where, no, where I pushed half myself.
No, she was out before then. That okay. Was okay. Okay.
I don't blame you. This is our normal reaction. So.
Well, I guess we should probably wrap things up then. Our next episode
will be about something.
Well, we got 2 options. We got April Fools. Or we can do, because it's also close to WrestleMania, we can do Wrestling Ghosts. What do you want to do? I'd rather do April Fools, but I don't know what you...
What would Amanda like us to do? She's the guest.
Oh, good call.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not a wrestling person, so I would go with April Fools.
That's fair.
This is like the second or third time wrestling's been mentioned this episode, so...
It's not usually mentioned during our episodes. It is like, it is a separate nerddom that we both participate in, Nick more than myself, but like it's over here. So April Fools is fine.
So I'm going to keep the details on what April Fools means for the Booze and Spirits podcast. We're going to keep that a secret for now.
It's probably a secret when we do the episode, too, let's be honest.
Surprise!
I'm really hoping to get you on board with just a blatant fuckery, but I don't know if that's going to pan out. So. Just fell all of the remaining audience in one fell swoop, if I can do this right.
I'm just going to read a Scooby-Doo script. It's fine.
Are you going to do all the voices?
No, right. I'm not that talented.
So it's just going to be a cold, static Scooby-Doo script?
It'll be like Ben Stein reading Scooby-Doo.
All right.
Zoinks.
Zoinks.
Sounds good. All right, Amanda, where can people find you if they want to find Spooky Eats or find you on social media or find any of your book? What do they do for that?
So my website is spookeats.com and my books are available at spookeats.com/shop. It's so hard to say. And then I'm on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is all at Spookies. So nice See, and she, easy.
She's
nice and
better easy. Than us. She got the same name on all of them. We
have a crapshoot of names. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. It was fun. Hopefully we didn't traumatize you. I enjoyed your stories.
Gosh, no, you can't.
Hopefully we haven't lowered your professional image is what I'm more concerned
about. I don't have a professional image.
You sure don't now.
No. I'm the crazy lady that stays at home, writes books, and every so often talks to dead people in the dark. So
gotta do what you gotta do.
Very professional.
Political campaigns have been started on Les. So.
Yeah. It's not wrong, no. thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for joining us. We will have links to your stuff in our show notes. We'll have links to all of our social media stuff in the show notes. So we're going to talk about that. It's just such a debacle when we talk about it. I made a link tree so that all of our stuff is in one spot. So linktree.com/boozeandspirits. And then I don't have to remember 18 different usernames that I created and forgot about. And I guess that's one am I forgetting?
Drink responsibly and in accordance with your local laws and regulations. Don't end up our next ghost.
That's right. Hey, she got that part.
I did it!
Yay! Bye, everyone.
Bye!
All right.
I'm out of cider, so...